message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Thank you, Dan, and we really count it a privilege, friend, to be able to come into your home by way of this program and to share with you the wonderful message of the wonderful grace of God from the wonderful Word of God. It's a real privilege to have that opportunity, and we count it as a privilege and also as a responsibility. You know, the Apostle Paul says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. It isn't something that just sort of is something that's just going to naturally follow. We have to get into the Word of God and find out what God is doing and then do that. Be a part of that. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Notice the emphasis is on rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Now, we talk about that a lot on this program. And in fact, a lot of preachers talk a lot about rightly dividing the Word of Truth. A pastor friend of mine just today told me about talking to some pastors. He's in a group of pastors, and one of the men was talking about how we need to rightly divide the Word, and that's the problem today is people aren't rightly dividing the Word. And he said, wow, that's great. I heard that man, him use that expression. So I went up to him after the meeting and began to ask him. I said, well, just what, how do you rightly divide the Word? And he said the man, the pastor was sort of speechless, didn't know how to tell him how to rightly divide the Word. So my friend was able to do that. And that's what we try to do on this program. We don't want to just talk about it, we want to do it. You know, any time that you fail to obey the Word of God, confusion results. Sin always complicates life. It did for Adam and Eve, and it will for you. And any time you rebel against or you fail to obey the Word of God, any time sin is a part of your life, I'll guarantee you, folks, it doesn't simplify things. Usually we think about, well, we'll do this, we'll do that, and it'll make life easier. No, no, no. Sin always complicates life. And my friend, failing to rightly divide the Word of Truth is a tremendous evil. I'm going to sometime bring a series of messages on this program about the world's most evil doctrine. And I'll tell you, folks, it might shock you for me to say it to you, but the world's most evil doctrine is not humanism, and it's not communism, and it's not the New Age movement, it's not some denominational or religious heresy or tradition. It's not atheism, and it's not agnosticism, and it's not some Eastern religion. The world's most evil doctrine is something far more basic than that. There are basically three categories of bad doctrine. One is doctrine that comes from human viewpoint, just man-made ideas and human viewpoint. The wisdom of men, the Bible calls it. But that's not the world's most evil doctrine. You see, human viewpoint is easily answered with the Word of God. Human viewpoint and human wisdom is easily answered by divine viewpoint and divine wisdom written down on the pages of a King James Bible. That's not the most evil doctrine. It's evil, but it's not the most evil doctrine. Then there's the category of doctrine that takes the Bible and uses the Bible, that God's Word is truth. Jesus says, "Thy Word is truth." So it'll take the truth of the Word of God and then mix it up with human tradition. Now that's religion. It'll take God's Word and add religious tradition. Jesus says to the Pharisees of his day that you teach for commandments and doctrines of men, and that you make the Word of God of none effect. Excuse me. In fact, he says you make void the Word of God. You take the Word of God and you make the Word of God void through your traditions. You add on your own traditions, your own ideas. You take what God says and then add human tradition to it, and it makes the Word of God useless. It makes it void, empty, of no effect. You can believe it. You can believe what God says, believe your traditions, add the two things together, and you have something that doesn't amount to anything. Now that's evil. It's wicked. It's wrong. But it's not the most evil. The most evil doctrine is to take the Word of God and to use the Word of God and to seek to obey the Word of God, but to refuse or to fail to rightly divide the Word of God. That is, to be scriptural, but not to be dispensational. To have the idea that you can come to God's Word and you can come to it the way you want to come to it rather than come to it the way God wants to come to it. Think about that passage in 2 Timothy 2:15 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If the book is going to yield up its truth, you must rightly divide it. And if you must rightly divide it to have God's approval and get God's truth, there is the possibility that it can be wrongly divided. If you couldn't wrongly divide it, he wouldn't warn and instruct us to rightly divide it. Now that only makes sense. Well, then the question is, how do you rightly divide it? Now that's the key. Paul tells us to do it. Paul tells us how to do it. And we've been studying that for weeks now on the program. We've been studying how to rightly divide the word of truth. And we're looking right now at a very, very specific issue that illustrates the distinction and illustrates the practical importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. Because it illustrates the confusion that results from failing to rightly divide the word of truth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're looking at the commissions that our Lord gave to His apostles before He left to go back into heaven, after He died, after He's resurrected, and what He actually told them to do. Jesus Christ dies on Calvary's cross. He's buried. He's in the ground. He's here and buried. And the third day He rose again. Then He spent 40 days with His apostles. Then He ascended into heaven. Then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and they went out and began to preach. They went out over here and carried on the ministry that He trained them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to carry out. He trained these 12 apostles back here to carry out the ministry they're going to have over here in the book of Acts. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, in Mark chapter 16, in Luke chapter 24, in John chapter 20, and in Acts chapter 1, during this 40-day period of time right there, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His apostles and His disciples, His followers, during that 40-day period of time, He gave them what is called the post-resurrection, that is, after the resurrection, and before His ascension into heaven, He gave them orders, marching orders, people call them, about what they were to do over here in His absence and in view of His going away. He had told them that He was going to go away, that He was going to go into heaven and receive a kingdom, and then He was going to return. And He was going to return with that kingdom. Having received that kingdom, He told them about the tribulation period that was going to precede that kingdom, the time of Jacob's trouble, that He'd come back, save them out of that kingdom, cast Satan in the bottomless pit, and then He was going to rule in that kingdom over there for 1,000 years, and then after that, the dispensation of the fullness of time was to take place. Now, they understand about that. In Acts chapter number 1, when Jesus has His disciples, He's right ready to ascend into heaven. And they come to Him and they ask Him, Acts 1:6 says, "Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They understand. They've been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They've been preaching the good news that the kingdom is coming, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that the kingdom is going to be established. They've been preaching that. They've been sent out to preach it. And they ask Him, "Are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Now there's a major confusion in the minds of many about that, the nature of the kingdom that Christ taught. He says to them, they ask Him, "Wilt thou again restore again the kingdom?" Israel once had a kingdom. They had a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom centered in Palestine. They had hope from the prophets that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom in the earth with the sinner The Jerusalem as the city of the great king. They had that hope. They had that expectation. The 12 apostles had been told that in that regeneration, when the Son of Man should come to sit upon the throne of His glory, that they would sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They have all of that hope in their mind. And they ask Him, are you going to restore again the kingdom? Had He not intended to come and restore a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom with Jerusalem as its center and the world, the earth as its sphere, sphere of existence. If He hadn't intended to do that in Acts chapter 1, before He gives them that last commission, it would have been incumbent upon Him, having spent 40 days speaking to them things pertaining to that kingdom, to have told them, no, you guys are wrong, you misunderstand. I don't mean to give you a literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom. I mean to give you a spiritual, moral, righteous kingdom. You see, it's not the Lord or His disciples that were misunderstanding of the nature of the kingdom. They understood exactly what the kingdom was about. It's the preachers today and the pundits and the teachers today who just simply don't want to believe the words on the page in the King James Bible like they stand. And the reason they don't want to believe that is because they look out here today and they say, but wait a minute. What God's doing today is not establishing a literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom, but He is forming a spiritual body of believers called the church, the body of Christ, during the dispensation of the grace of God. And they look out and they say, well, what God is doing today is not that. Therefore, these people back here must have misunderstood what that was. He was trying to tell them it was this, and they thought it was that. And you know what that is? That's just total confusion. Because, folks, what He told them back here was about this thing. He didn't tell them about that. And the reason He didn't is that this dispensation of grace is called a mystery. It was a secret. It's something that He kept hid, didn't tell anyone about it until the Lord Jesus Christ up here from heaven's glory saved the Apostle Paul and revealed that information to him. Prior to the ministry of Paul in your Bible, you can't find this ministry. You can't find about the church, the body of Christ. You can find about a church. You can find a kingdom church. Jesus said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, Israel's Messiah. And He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, and upon thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, the kingdom church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He says, Peter, I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom. And you're going to sit on 12 thrones in the kingdom. And you're going to have the authority in the kingdom. Peter knew what was going on. Christ told him about a church. He told him about the kingdom. He didn't tell him about the body of Christ church. I mean, they knew about Israel was a church in the wilderness, Acts 7:38. They know about the kingdom church in here. Looking forward to that hope over there. Then there's another church, the body of Christ. Did you know there are at least three churches in the Word of God? Different churches, distinct churches that are not the same. The way you get in them is different. The ministries are different. The baptisms are different. And by the way, the commissions are different. And that's where you get in trouble. Because these commissions here, the post-resurrection commission of the Lord Jesus Christ was given to these people here in view of that kingdom right out there. And they have nothing to do with what's going on here in the dispensation of grace. That information is found in Romans to Philemon in your Bible. And it's not found back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You won't find it in the book of Acts. And you're not going to find it in the books of Hebrews through Revelation over there. Folks, in time past, God's got a ministry through Israel, and it fits. In the ages to come, He's going to fulfill that ministry. In the But Now section in here, He has a new program. This stuff back over here is prophecy. They all know about it. The prophets talk about it. Christ comes and fulfills it. His death, his crucifixion is prophesied. His resurrection is prophesied. His burial is prophesied. His ascension into heaven is prophesied. The sending of the Holy Spirit is prophesied. His receiving the kingdom from the Father is prophesied. The tribulation is prophesied. The Antichrist is prophesied. His advent back to the earth is prophesied in detail. And where He's going to land on the earth is prophesied, what He's going to do when he establishes His kingdom and how long it's going to last. And all those things are clearly foretold back in the Old Testament prophets. They just didn't tell you anything about where we are today because they didn't know about it. Now that being the case, folks, these commissions back here this post-resurrection commissions that Christ gave to his apostles are not what he's doing today. They don't fit us. And if you don't make the distinction between the later commission that Christ gave to Paul and through him to us, you're going to think this is what you're supposed to be doing, and you can't. And I want to show you that. I want to go through these passages with you and read the passages and show you that you can't do what these passages say, and you don't do what these passages say today, but you do do what these passages say. Well, if that's what God's doing and that's what you're doing, then why don't you just say that that's what God's doing and that's what you're doing and quit making like you're doing something back here? Quit trying to force this stuff back here into your system. Listen, people, your system is going to burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be every man's work will be tried by fire. That book's going to last. Your system's going to burn. You want your system to match the verse, the book. You don't want the book, try to take the book and twist it into your system. Go by the book. That's the key. Now look at Matthew 28 and watch how Matthew 28 will fit the program back here and the program over there. It won't fit what's going on in here. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice he says, go. This is a commission. Matthew 28, to go out and teach all nations. Come with me to Numbers, chapter number 23. Now come on, let's study the Bible together. Numbers chapter 23. Get Numbers chapter 23 in one hand and 1 Kings chapter number 8. Numbers 23 and 1 Kings 8. Let's have a new experience. Let's study the Bible. Let's interpret the Bible in light of what the Bible says about itself. Let's don't just believe what the Bible is presumed to teach. Let's take the Bible and let the Bible tell us what it teaches. Not what we presume it to teach, not what the denomination and the teachers and the preachers and everybody says, but what does the Bible actually say? Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is a commission to go out and teach all nations. Numbers chapter 23, verse number 9. From the top of the rocks I see him, talking about Israel. And from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people of Israel, shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Now wait a minute. God Almighty says there's a difference between my people Israel and all the other nations of the earth. And don't you reckon my people Israel with the nations. When you talk about the nations, you're not talking about Israel. They dwell over here alone. There's Israel over here, and there's all the nations out there. There's Israel up here, and there's all the Gentiles out here. So when you talk about the nations, you're not talking about Israel. You're talking about everybody else. You're talking about the Gentiles. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53. For thou didst separate them, talking about Israel, from all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance. Notice it, 1 Kings 8, 53. And we can go on and on and on with passages like that. We've done that before in this study. God set the nation Israel apart. Listen, look at here. When Jesus Christ says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You can't obey Matthew 28, verse number 18 and 19, by going and teaching the nations, if you preach to Israel. Because God Almighty says that Israel is not to be reckoned among the nations. Verse with verse, Matthew 28 is a commission just to preach to Gentiles and no Israeli is to be preached to. Well, you say, well, how in the world can that be? Come with me to Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter 8. What's the matter? I thought that was supposed to be Israel's ministry. It is. That's just the point. Matthew 28 is a commission, folks, that's going to be fulfilled by the nation Israel in the kingdom. Right over there. That's why he says, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Go ye therefore, because I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye Israel. You say, but wait a minute. If Israel goes out and preaches to the Gentiles under that commission, who's going to preach to them? Nobody. You say, but wait a minute. Don't they need to get saved? Oh, no. Not when that commission's been operative. Look here at Hebrews chapter number 8. See, there are some things in God's Word you haven't considered yet. There are some things about some of these passages back here that you haven't really sat down and thought through. You've just let the missionaries say, go ye, let's go, let's go. And we all want to go. I mean, the first two letters in the word gospel are go. We all want to get the gospel out. And people say, well, okay, let's go. Oh, and it sounds good. But look, we're not talking about building a system that sounds good. We're talking about building God's Word up in our souls and letting it be what motivates us. And when you begin to examine what's really back here in Matthew 28, you know something? You find out you're not doing it today. Because if you really do what Matthew 28 says, it'll be a bunch of Jews going and preaching to Gentiles. Not to one another. You say, why? Hebrews chapter 8, look at it. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, 9, 10, he talks about the new covenant that he's going to make with them. Verse 11. They shall not teach. Notice, they shall not teach every man his neighbor. Israel is not going to go around teaching one another. One Jew is not going to go teach his neighbor, Israel. Why? They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. You see, when Jesus Christ comes back over here, all Israel shall be saved. Folks, all of unbelieving Israel is destroyed in the tribulation period, and it's just the believing remnant that gets into the kingdom over there, and that believing remnant in that kingdom has a commission. They then are to take the Word of God and go preach it to the nations of the earth. Come with me to Mark chapter number 3. Before that Word can be preached to all the nations of the earth, our Lord has already taught them very clearly what had to happen. Mark chapter 3, verse number 27. Mark 3, 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house. This world, Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of the world. You don't go into a strong man's house, Satan, and bind and spoil, take for yourself his goods, except you first bind the strong man. Before Jesus Christ comes down here into this world and begins to take unto himself the possessions of this world, he's going to bind Satan and put him in the bottomless pit. He's going to bind the strong man. And then he's going to send his people out to take possession of the earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus Christ comes back, he binds Satan, he takes over the authority and the exercise of the position in the earth from Satan. Go ye therefore and teach. That's a kingdom commission, brother. Go back with me to Matthew 28. That commission fits in the kingdom. And that commission will be fulfilled in the kingdom. He says, what are they supposed to teach in the kingdom? What are they supposed to teach under this Matthew 28 commission? Here's a bunch of Jews, Israel, going out teaching the Gentiles in view of the fact that Satan's been bound, and now they're to go out and take the message to the nations of the earth, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 5. Now get a hold of what's going on here now. Matthew chapter 5, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. There are people that they just make the assumption that when Jesus Christ gave this post-resurrection commission, he's given his disciples something new. And he says he wasn't. He says, what I want you to teach over there is what I've taught you back over here. Take all this stuff I've trained you with, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and teach that to these people over there. Now notice what he taught them. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20. Or verse number 19. Matthew 5, 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, they shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Look at here. Jesus Christ says in that kingdom over there, the man that teaches people to do the law and to keep the law. You have to teach the law, do the law, keep the law. Teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What did Christ command them? He said, keep the law, do the law, preach the law. You know what that is? Paul says we're not under the law, but we're under grace. If the Apostle Paul followed the commission of Matthew 28, folks, he violated it. He didn't teach anybody the law, but they'll flat teach him the law in the kingdom. Look over at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 3. Verse number 2, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and come, come ye, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, that's the commission. That's where it fits the kingdom. The word of the Lord, the law goes out over there. Now, you know where we are? We're right in here. That commission fits right over there. It'll fit every requirement of that program. It won't fit any of the requirements in here. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, you think about that. He says, go teach them, go out there and teach the nations to keep the law. Paul said, we're not under the law, we're under grace. He said, baptize the nations. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. You say, what right did Paul have to do something different? He had no right to change the program unless God himself changed it. And that's exactly what happened. Because the last person on this planet to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive a message from him was not Peter, the 12, wasn't John. It was Paul right there as one born out of due time. And Jesus Christ by revelation made known to Paul the mystery. A new program, a new message in which we live today, where God today is forming a spiritual body of believers, not establishing a physical kingdom through the nation Israel, but forming a spiritual body of believers called the Church, the Body of Christ, simply through faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. We'll study more about it next time. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Where the Commissions Fit. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with the free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 160. That's tape offer number 160. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with the Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.